Tim Gibbons, let's begin with you. Some business heavy hitters named by the mayor to this task force.
They were indeed. It's a kind of a who's who collection of Jacksonville business leaders who, are supposed to come together to kind of push for this dredging. Even as I started to say that, though, that's kind of the unanswered question of what exactly will the task force do? These are smart, accomplished people. I think it's still somewhat unknown what the point of gathering them together is.
Well, the mayor is saying he's asking them to build community support for Jacksport's priorities.
Exactly.
Their priority is to get this dredge done.
And that's where the question becomes interesting, because there's a certain sense if you bring these people together, if their goal is simply to raise support. Quite frankly, the business community supports this already. The chamber has taken a somewhat unusual step in recent years forward of coming out and really being behind this. The Jacksport itself has gone out, talked to many groups, has really done a very good job of raising community support for this. When the idea of the task force was first floated, there was some sense that it would be more of a discussion sort of thing, not simply a rah-rah Jacksport.
Quint White, you're the only environmentalist on a board full of business leaders who are, I think it's fair to say, very much in favor of dredging the St. John's River to a depth of 47 feet. They think this will pay off for our community in terms of increased business at the port and job creation in our area. You are perceived by many to be the lone voice taking a counterpoint. Why?
Well, I'm not sure I'm the lone voice. I think I know many of the people on the task force personally. I don't think I'd characterize them necessarily as an environmentalist, but I think they all have a great deal of intelligence and respect for the river, and nobody wants to hurt the river. And so I'm anxious to have this task force meet. We've been talking for years about the need to have a community conversation about the pros and cons of what we're doing. And the mayor and I discussed this. And I have to admit, my charge, as he was talking to me, was not so much to rally support for the dredging, because I don't think I could agree to that. But at the same time, he wanted to have a conversation about Jacksport and its role and what was going on in the community and what they wanted to do. And that's the charge that I hope that we take on, that we have a very good conversation about exactly how we do things, what's going on. Is this the best way to invest the money? Are we going to get the return on the dollar that we think we are? It's a very, very complex issue. This is not something that you can sort of devour in a few minutes. It's going to take a great deal of time and effort. The mayor and I talked about taking as long as a year to do this. So This is not a short-term, let's all get together and rally around the river. I think it's going to be a much more complex situation than that.
And to our callers, if you're just joining us, are you for or against the Jacksport priority of dredging the St. John's River down to a depth of 47 feet to accommodate bigger cargo ships? We'll go to your calls in just a moment at 549-2937. Tim Gibbons, this task force also has to figure out how to pay for this project. $371 million at a minimum, right?
Exactly. That's a lot of money, and that's just the local bit. There's still the need to have the federal government kick in even millions more. Totally unanswered question as to where the funds are coming from. Jacksport is putting up its own money for the first phase of the dredging project. It's called PED, and I forget what those initials stand for, but it's basically the design phase of figuring out how to move ahead. Pre-construction, that's what the P stands for. So they're putting their own money up for that. The president's budget proposal would reimburse them for some of that money. But even that is just a drop in the bucket of doing the actual work.
And let's assume, for the sake of argument, that environmental concerns are addressed and that the budget is somehow found. The other looming question is, will this pay off for the city? Will this translate to more jobs, more economic development?
That's the huge question. And a lot of times the calculus is done almost in a vacuum of, if we don't have a deeper river, we're not going to get these ships. Well, that's kind of obvious. The unanswered question is, you have Miami, you have Savannah, you have New York. If they're getting these ships and Jacksport is even just a year or so behind them, why would those ships come here?
Here's an email from Lisa Reinemann. She emailed the show. She, of course, is the St. John's Riverkeeper, and she writes, "The task force mission appears to focus on building support for Jaxport's priorities instead of truly vetting the environmental and economic risks to determine if the port's priorities are Jacksonville's priorities." Quint White, what about that question?
Well, I hope the task force will have a broader reach than that. We haven't met. We don't know yet. Hapstein and John Baker are going to chair it. They are both great individuals, and I've got a lot of respect for them. And so, and I know a lot of people on the task force. So I think this will be an interesting process to watch it unfold. I'm optimistic. I think this is the kind of conversation we want to have. And I think it's going to be an interesting conversation to have in Jacksonville about who we are and what we want to do. I've wondered for a long time about I know that we need to have a viable port, but is a harbor deepening the only way to do that? You're looking at the new liquid natural gas coming in. You know, there's some really interesting ways the port could go that would be spectacular in terms of job growth.
Like what?
Well, in terms of being more of a niche port, I mean, you know, maybe you don't have to bring in all the big ships, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I'm a marine biologist, so I'm sort of focused on the river. But when I listen to other people talk about the amount of cargo that's being moved, where it's being moved from, and, you know, is Jacksonville going to be the best place for some of this stuff to happen? I just don't know. And that's why I want to ask the questions.
But Tim Gibbons, when you speak with CEOs, people who are very engaged in the economic engine of the port, these are questions they're asking as well.
There are. And there is a pretty firm belief that if we don't have the dredging, it's not simply that the port won't grow, but that it will actually fall behind and become basically a second-tier port. The unanswered question there is second-tier a bad thing? If we become an LNG export terminal, if we service
liquefied natural gas.
Yes, thanks. You know, if we service the Caribbean and Puerto Rico, if we have more of a small-scale thing, is that enough for a port like Jacksonville, or does it need to be a big containers from Asia sort of transshipment place?
And the other wrinkle to all of this, as you both just informed me before we went on the air, is that the Panama Canal widening and deepening project is also over budget and behind schedule.
December 2015 now is the earliest it's expected to be done, which there's an argument that's actually good for Jacksport because it pushes off once that's widened, which is why the port needs its harbor deeper.
And if you're just joining us, we're discussing Mayor Alvin Brown's new task force, high-profile leaders in the community, looking at the question of how and whether to dredge the St. John's River to a depth of 47 feet, a project that could cost upwards of $400 million. We want to know what you think. 549-2937. Let's go to Michael on the west side. Hi, Michael. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My concern, outside of the environmental impact of just the dredging operation, which we know there's going to be some, is the trifecta of the millions of gallons of water being taken out, siphoned out for Central Florida, and our local government that is totally against any kind of regulation of big businesses. They can just keep dumping whatever they want in the river, the dredging and the taking of the water, everything combined, I think is going to be a big problem 10, 15 years down the road. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, for those questions. Dr. White, he brought up a series of questions about the health of the water.
Yeah, I think, and I use the phrase use and abuse of the St. John River for years. We watched ourselves think that we can just use the river in any way we want to. Because of the growth in the state of Florida, particularly in Central Florida, there is the proposal now to withdraw water from the St. John's River to be used for basically lawn irrigation in Central Florida. That will have an impact in Northeast Florida. We saw the Georgia Pacific Pipeline dumping millions of gallons of their effluent into the St. John's River.
That went, and that was approved. That's happening.
Oh, yeah, that's happening and has happened. And, you know, we just have a long history of thinking we can continue to do things. And my biggest complaint with the Army Corps results that they're talking about is everything's minimal. Everything's minimal. And I just don't, I mean, I've spent 35 years studying the St. John's River, and I just don't believe that you can deepen it from 40 to 47 feet and just say, oh, yeah, it's just going to have minimal impact in terms of salinity. Now, I'm going to give kudos to the Corps. They've had a huge, huge job and a very difficult job. The St. John's River is an extremely complex river. I think a lot of people realize it's 310 miles long. It only falls a total of 30 feet approximately from the mouth to the mountains of Florida, as I sometimes say. And so when you start to look at what's going on, you realize that most of that fall is in the first 100 miles. The last 200 miles are flat. And at times, the river actually flows backwards, actually does in fact flow south. It doesn't always flow north. So if you got low rainfall, you actually see salt water going further downstream than we normally have. So we've seen a lot of changes in the St. John's in the last few decades. And, you know, I think at some point you got to say, wait a minute, can we continue to do this and expect the river to survive? The river is already turning green. We have the green monster. This is a nasty algae that we get now in the summertime, but it's here, it turns out, year-round as we're starting to study it. And that caused me a lot of concern.
Lots of calls, meanwhile, about the St. John's River today. Richard in San Marco is with us. Hello, Richard. What are your thoughts?
Hi. I want to make three quick points. First, I want to second the sentiment of the St. John's Riverkeeper member. I think sometimes our mayor is too quick to set the task as how to get done what influential and wealthy people want done. Second, I'm deeply suspicious of these types of panels that are full of economic and business heavy hitters and then an environmental or a consumer spokesman is thrown in for basically PR reasons, and they will ultimately, their influence will be muted and reduced simply by numbers. And lastly, my understanding, which I admit is not complete, but my understanding is the dredging is deep in the St. John's, kind of breaks open the bottom of the river and allows possibly for salination of groundwater and the aquifer. I'd certainly like to hear from your environmentalist panelist on that.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. So two points he makes. A, is the panel, there's some cynicism about the makeup of the panel. Tim?
And well, you know, I'm a reporter. I think that, you know, cynicism is is always warranted. But I think it's too early to tell. I mean, honestly, the panel hasn't met. It hasn't hashed through these issues. I think there is an open question as to what its goals actually are. You know, as Dr. White said, he came into it with a much broader view of what he plans on doing than I think it was laid out in the press release. I think that's a good thing. There's also the question that I find interesting looking at the mayor's pension task force, where, you know, he's kind of said, yeah, thanks, but he's ignoring their main recommendation. So the cynicism might come in of, you have this task force. Okay, so what happens if they come up and say you shouldn't dredge? What happens then? I don't know.
Quint White, his other question involved what happens if they blast bedrock along the bottom of the riverbed, which is what would happen. What would take place.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of concern, to be honest, about cracking into the aquifer. You really haven't heard us talk about that being an issue. And the reason for that is that there are parts of the river that are already greater than 47 feet. Right downtown Jacksonville, the Main Street Bridge, it's 80 feet deep. And so there are parts of the river that are already exceeding this depth, so that's not a major issue. It's also interesting, and I'll sort of give kudos to the Corps again, they've developed a blasting technique that is pretty interesting, pretty innovative, and again, it just hasn't caused a lot of concern among environmentalists because of the way they've modified the blasting now really does minimize the amount of damage done to the marine life in the area. And so, you know, my biggest concern has been salinity, this idea of this gradual increase in salinity in the St. John's River because of the harbor deepening.
That's where you come in on it. Okay, right. And lots of emails from listeners. Here's one. I heard a piece on your radio station recently about a floating city built off the Brazilian coast to house oil rig workers. Could a project like that extend the port here and make it accessible to deep water container ships and avoid messing with the bottom of the river? Interesting question.
Weren't there plans at some point for floating power plants on the St. John's? I think we should return to that.
And here's an email from
Here's
an email from Paul. This project has not been sufficiently researched. Dredging the river will increase the incursion of saltwater. Our fishing industry will be impacted. If Arctic ice continues to diminish, the shipping route from China, Japan, and other nations will be shorter and bypass the Panama Canal. That would cause shipping companies to use the northern route and consequently ports on the Atlantic coast north of Jacksonville. This plan is poorly thought out and should be shelved in favor of seeking other ways of improving our economy. Lots of feedback on the phone lines. Meanwhile, let's go to Joe in Callahan. Hi, Joe. Joe, good morning. All right, Joe, if you couldn't stay with us, give us a call back. We've got another Nassau County listener on the line. It's Don in Yulee this morning. Hello, Don. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am for the dredging of the river. I think that a lot of the comments that people are making are really based more on what we have today. But population is growing. Business is constantly growing. The need for being competitive in Jacksonville, I think, is extreme. Or we're just going to be left behind. Thank you.
Thanks, Don. And that is the business case.
That actually sums it up very nicely. And it is that idea of not simply we need this to grow, but if we don't do this, we'll fall behind. And everything is still being shipped from somewhere. We're not going to grow a huge manufacturing base in Jacksonville anytime soon. So, if we're going to deal with goods getting somewhere, that's our role in life.
Elias in Jacksonville. Elias, what are your thoughts? All right. Folks have been holding for some time, so we appreciate your patience. Let's get more callers with us. John on the South Side. Hello, John. Good morning. Let's try Bobby on the North Side. Bobby on the North Side. Good morning, Bobby.
Bobby's here. I just wanted to bring some insight. I was living out here in the 70s when we deepened the harbor before, and many of the places they dropped the dredge fill are all gone now. And even though the blasting has been limited to where it doesn't affect the marine life, they had a lot of places in the monument area that were foundations were damaged by the blasting. And I really don't think a good cost analysis has been done of what we're going to gain for this massive investment. And the fact of the matter is, they're not going to sink these pre-Panama ships. They're going to be around, and I think as a secondary port, will always be viable.
Thanks, Bobby. Now, Quint White, the Army Corps of Engineers did a study, and it came back with robust job creation numbers and minimal environmental impact. At the same time, another study was done at UNF called the Ports Project, which said that the job creation, the business growth is overstated and the environmental impact has been underestimated. So we've got two studies on this, essentially, that people can look at.
Yeah, and that's always the case. Dr. David Jaffe at UNF did a Ports Project, and I actually began work with him a couple of years ago, and his class took on the idea and very independently came up and began questioning the economic benefits and questioning the environmental assessment, saying, golly day, it seems like it's going to have far less economic benefit and a whole lot more environmental damage than is being acknowledged. And so and part of the Corps' economic analysis in their entire report, there's only one page. And it's basically relying on some information that Jackport provided. So the economic benefits have really not been examined in what I'll call the harsh daylight to sort of see do they actually hold up to investigation. So I think we've got to look at this.
Tim, you've looked at the numbers.
I have. And there's there's a common critique of economic impact sort of numbers, which is basically how big of a geographical area are you talking about? So you can look and say there'll be thousands of jobs created. Well, what type of jobs? And if you start counting, longshoremen, people working at the port, those are what I think people have in mind when you say jobs created. Do you also include the guy at the convenience store outside the port? And do you include the guy in Orlando who is driving a truck back and forth? At some point, I don't think that the common person thinks of those as jobs being created because of this.
And Jim Alabiso with Jumping Fish is on the line. Of course, Jim is the guy who's famous for swimming the river. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. Good morning, Quint.
Morning.
Hey, I just got a couple of comments. First, hats off to Quint and Dr. Jaffe for the work they've done here. I've looked at Dr. Jaffe's studies and the economic studies, and I certainly agree. The economic benefits are way overstated. And as Mr. Martin himself would say, he's only talking about potential for job creation. We're not talking about actual job creation. The other comment I want to make is, and which Dr. Quinn had pointed out earlier, is the number of points of eco-violence that we're seeing in the St. John's River. We're talking Adena Ranch, Georgia Pacific, Orange County water withdrawal, runoff from Jacksonville, the deepening of port from Jacksport, the compound effects of this thing. We really don't know what they are. And one other comment, and I'll be off, is, you know, the Deep Water Now website that the Jacksonville Chamber had put up, if you go out there, you can just really observe the amount of capitalization that's going into pushing this project. And I also want to make note that if you look at the website, that there's absolutely no mention of the environment on the website, and I just find that interesting.
That's Jim Alabiso with Jumping Fish on the line. Thanks for the call, Jim. Okay, so the task force has yet to meet. What happens next? Quint.
I'm waiting for them to call a meeting, and then we're going to see where they go from there. But I think it's going to be a fascinating project. I'm sort of looking forward to it in a lot of ways.
And Tim Gibbons, Mayor Brown just flew up to Washington lobbying for money for this project. This is a big priority for City Hall.
It very much is. And I think it has to, you know, it should be mentioned that this is a long-running, hard-knuckle fight that the city is in. This is a we have Congress people fighting to get the money. That still is a – I'm sorry, fighting to get authorization. That's still
– our local Congress Kareem
exactly.
Brown, Andrew Crenshaw.
They are right. They're nose to the grindstone on that. We have the mayor's office. We have a variety of local business leaders really pushing on that. In some ways, if that doesn't work, the entire question becomes moot anyhow, I guess.
We'll continue to follow it. In the meantime, thanks to everyone who called in with their thoughts. And thanks, Tim Gibbons, managing editor at the JBJ, and marine scientist Dr. Quint White. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Good to be here.